Am I on? Great. Right. Yeah, I was just thinking, just before I start, I've got 15 minutes, so yeah, okay. What we've got to share today is, my part is the Word of God, as Russell has said, and that's what God says to us, obviously, and Chris is going to share the opposite, really, is prayer, is what we say to him. And I think we can see from this, the importance of this, that it's all about communication, it's all about relationship. You've probably heard it said many times that we're not religious, we don't follow a book of rules, it's all about our relationship with Jesus. So I think these two topics that we've got here are very vital for our future. I've divided it into three sections. The first one is, what is the Word of God? The second section is, what is it for? And the final section is, how do we respond to it? Right, what is it? Well, first of all, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not just a book. I'm going to be very basic because I think that's the whole thing. The whole thing's got to appeal to everybody. And the fact is that if we're thinking we're just reading a book, we'll just browse through it and miss the bits out that we don't really fancy too much. But the fact is, it's God's word to us. It's like it's really a love letter from Jesus to us. The Word of God actually comes in two parts. There's the Logos word, which is what we're going to talk about today, which is the written word of God, his instruction to us, etc., etc. There's also the Rhema word, which is, we're not going to go down that road today, but that's very exciting, the Rhema word. It's usually something that God would give to an individual for himself or herself or for a group of people for a certain task. And what makes that so exciting is it's always relevant. But anyway, more about that later. Right, the Logos word. Now, I've got quite a lot of scriptures, so if Jed is ready with the scriptures. because it's about the Word, and we're talking, this is the Word, there's going to be lots of scriptures. It says a lot more than I can. First one is Hebrews 12, verse 27, which tells us basically, I'm not going to go through a Bible to find, because there's so many little ones. So let's just read it from here. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. And what cannot be shaken, I think there's only one thing, and that's God's word. Everything else is temporal. Even the house you live in, even the governments, and etc., etc., they will all pass away, but the word of God stays forever. And his word is the highest authority. There's many authorities in the church. We have our church leadership. We actually even have the authority of our conscience because God speaks very loudly through there. But the highest authority is his word. Even the words of great intellectuals and philosophers, I like this, will one day have to bow the knee to God. All the atheists out there that have some very clever arguments, I must admit, I take my hat off to them because I don't know where they got them from. But they will have to bow the knee to the Word of God eventually. Its authority is so high that we can't question it. It's not a question that we can. It's easy to look through the Word of God and like these bits and follow that. And we'll think we'll get to that later. But really, all of God's Word is the authority. there's a few little asides I've got as I go through, and this is one that I heard about, which I think is really good. The book of Romans, which Paul wrote, obviously, to the church in Rome, which is probably his masterpiece. It's his most complete book. When he wrote that and sent it to the church in Rome, it was hardly read except for the church. Nobody else, they looked down on it. They thought, what is this guy talking about? But over the years, apparently, the book of Romans has become the most read book in Rome. Now, what tells you that? How could that be? Because it's alive. That's the great thing about the Word of God. It's not a book. It's life. Right. Next scripture is Psalm 119, verse 105. This shows the way. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. Interesting, it's not a searchlight. It doesn't shine to the horizon. Because God wants us to trust him for every step. So it's just here. He says, don't worry about there, I'll show you the next step. In fact, I'd say, if we knew beforehand what God wants us to do, we probably wouldn't do it, or we would struggle to do it. He shows you a bit at a time and he leads you, and you have to follow that. Next one is Hebrews 4, verse 12. This is a very powerful scripture. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, because a double-edged sword doesn't just cut that way, it cuts that way and that way, so it makes like a double cut. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I think this is great because you don't need any man to tell you when the word of God is cutting you. It goes right to the heart. And that little thing, that little sin that you like and you hide away, you can hide for some time, but eventually the sword will go deep enough to expose it to you, and you can deal with it. Next one is Isaiah 40, verse 8. This, and also to follow that, will be Matthew 24, 35. They tell us about the permanence of God's word. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. That speaks for itself. And the other one, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Isn't that interesting? This word of God that we've got in this so-called book will go on into eternity. Those words will still be valid then. Next one is Isaiah 55:11. This talks about his power. We've heard this one a lot. So is my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, I've seen this in action a couple of times when God has a word for somebody and I've given it to maybe somebody else. And I remember once at a filling station in South Africa, I was speaking to a lady in the shop about God, and I was giving a scripture. I can't even remember what the scripture was. And she took no notice of me, and I knew she was a Baptist, so I thought, well, she should be excited, you know. But she didn't show any interest. And then I heard a voice behind me, and there was this guy working on the petrol pumps, and he said, that sounds good. So I turned and I spoke to him, and I was a rep, and I used to call there quite regularly. And over the weeks and months, this guy finally gave his heart to the Lord. And some of the things that came out, he used to confess his sins to me. He used to beat women. He used to drink about a bottle of whiskey every day. He was a housebreaker. And he just used to tell me these things. And I thought, wow. Anyway, the last I saw of him, he was now the manager of a big cash and carry place. He was married to a Christian lady. And you wouldn't have recognized him. His whole face looked different. And that's because God sent his word, not where I thought it would go, but where he wanted it to go. And it wasn't wasted. Brilliant. Hallelujah for that. David, his name is. Right. Anyway, that's the first section. Now we're going to go on to what is the word of God for? And this is very crucial to this whole series. It's really to get to know our God, because that's what it's all about. God doesn't want a bunch of people that are just told what to do and you stay there. He's involved with your life. All the little nitty-gritty, he walks with you through all the little things, through the big catastrophes in life, all the exciting things, he's with you all the way. But the word of God is the single most way that he's going to get his heart across to you. There's many other things. There's prophecies, and we're grateful for those things. But for the everyday, normal things, it's going to come through his word. And the word of God gives us a plumb line. If you know what a plumb line is, it's something that doesn't move. Because like we were preaching on the street yesterday, one of my favorite little things to say is that we are fashionable people. We're trendy people. We don't do that anymore because we've moved on to this. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And his word stays the same. And you know how vital that is, because if we're shaken by something, if we don't read the word, if we don't know what God is saying to us, all sorts of strange doctrines can come about. People can start teaching you things which are wrong. If you know the word of God, that sharp two-edged sword, you can wield that sword and you can stay up on top. But if you don't know this word, you can be deceived. You can be led astray down all different paths, etc. So it's actually a word, especially to the young people, if you don't mind me segregating you. Because I know in this day and age, reading is not what it used to be. People used to go on holiday and spend whole holidays reading. And even though it's not a book, We have to read this word. If you don't read it, how else are you going to know about it? So if you don't like reading, then get an audio Bible, but you've got to be hearing the word of God. Otherwise, what keeps you up straight?
Very good.
Keeps you on track. Yeah, another thing, God's plan is always amazing, I think, how he thinks of every little thing. Why is the word of God written down? And why is it, if we look over the ages, how the Bible is translated from this translation to another, it's so intricately correct. Nobody can just come up with a new translation and say this makes more sense. It has to be exactly right. Because if you look at Buddhism, I don't know if you know anything, Buddhism has got nothing written down at all. Because they're wavy, mystical people that whatever the wind blows in, they worship it. It's a bit like Hinduism. Am I allowed to say these things? I don't know. But the word of God is written. He says it is written. It can't be taken away. And people have tried to take away, but you cannot take it away. How am I doing for time?
Preach.
Yeah, so the word of God stays the same year after year, decade after decade, generation after generation. As I say, unlike some of those Eastern things, which are little whispers, they become Chinese whispers. Along the way, the emphasis changes. So what they believe now and what they will believe in 10 years' time could be totally different things. We need something more definite than that. Right. I've said that bit. I'm trying to rush a little bit because I don't have too much time. Yeah, when we get disappointed, that's a difficult thing. When we get disappointed, what keeps us straight? And the word of God, sometimes it's discipline. Sometimes it's something quite strong, you know. But that's encouraging because it actually tells you this God cares about you. It's not, he's not wavy, you know. Right. Now, this is another little aside that I found. You find in Christianity, in Christendom, in the church, you find this is so important that we're balanced because you get so-called word-based people and you get Holy Spirit-inspired people, right? Now, what I want to say first of all, we want both those things because without the Holy Spirit, there is no revelation, there's no light on it. But if we spend too much time just in the Word and we don't pray and we don't communicate with the Holy Spirit, it could be the dead letter, you know, the dead letter of the law. Now, the Word of God is not dead, it's alive. But we need the Holy Spirit to illuminate it. So on the one hand, you've got maybe very word-based people who may be a bit rigid, maybe a bit nitpicky, maybe a bit unyielding. You know, no, the Word of God just says this. But you've got to be careful when you say that because you read a little bit further and the Lord brings something which brings it into tension with something else. He'll say, on the one hand, I don't want you to do this, but I do want you to do that. And it sounds almost like a contradiction, but it's not. And then on the other side, you can get Christians that are a bit unstable, full of excitement, full of words from God. We must never despise those words, but they're a bit up and down and touchy and feely. You know what I mean? So we need the two things. We need the word to keep us anchored. I have a little testimony about how strong the word of God is, because before I really gave my heart to the Lord properly, I was... you know, I had God was in my mind, but I hadn't come to that really come to terms with it. There was a friend of mine, he wasn't a Christian, but his grandmother was a Christian. So she'd given him lots of scriptures, you know, while he was being brought up. And he just said to me one day, if you died today, do you think you'd go to heaven or hell? And I thought, well, it's something at the back of my mind, but I can't say I've ever really definitely answered that question. So I thought, well, like most people, I thought to myself, well, I've probably done more good things than bad things, so I'm probably okay. I said, well, I'm probably okay. And then he came up with the scripture. It's Matthew 12, verse 30. I don't think that's on the list. It says there, if you're not for me, you're against me. And you know how that cut, that was that two-edged sword. It went right in. I thought, wow. And then I thought, then in that case, I've got to be against God. And I never thought that, but it awakened me. And it took me about, well, then I got fully saved about 18 months later. And then this whole thing gave me peace. I thought, oh, now I'm for God. So, yeah, that's the word of God. Right, now just going to finish off. How should we respond? I'm going to have to rush through this a little bit. In a nutshell, We have to obey it. That's quite simple. The thing with the Word of God is, because of its high authority, it's not a thing that we question or we reason with or debate with. The only question we have is, if it says jump, is how high do I jump? You know, I really want to emphasize that, because I think a lot of us, especially if we're new believers, we, like I said earlier, we embrace some things, but we have got to embrace all of it. And if the Word of God is coming to you and it's saying you have to do this, you have to do it. Right, next scripture, James chapter 1, 22 to 25. I always find James is the school teacher in the New Testament. All the others, I find all the other books in the New Testament are very encouraging, very warm and everything. But James is a bit of a disciplinarian. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Can you move on? Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. That's quite strong, isn't it? The next one is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. I don't think we need to go there. Just crave it. He says, like a baby craves milk, we need to crave the milk of God's word. And then finally, in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, the very last part of that, can we go there? The very last, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It says every word. It doesn't say the ones you like. It's every word. So we have to live by that. And just finally, I'm just going to finish now. Deuteronomy also says, the question is, how often do we talk about the word? And I'm talking about in our home environment. It says things like this. This is in my own translation. Teach it in the morning. When you rise up, teach your children. At meal times, you talk about it. Before you go to bed, you talk about it. You have it written on the doorposts and on the window ledges. In other words, the word of God consumes us all the time. It sounds narrow, but that's how we live, because there's so much devious stuff out there. Amen. Well done. Thank you.